Blog Talk Radio.
There we go. Thank you, British lady, and welcome to Pop Culture Stars for 12/8/21. Good to have everybody aboard, and I hope everybody out there is doing fantastic. I am your host, driver, MC, and game show officiator. I'm looking at my computer again while I'm throwing the big words out and walking past all the fur to get outside here in Jacksonville, where it is cold, arthritic, formerly rainy, but not cold enough to prevent me from having a delicious cigar from Godfather Cigars and a beverage. It's corn-based with the turkey on the label. So let's light the torch so that way I can see what I'm doing as I pass it around to our most esteemed panel and our very special guest this evening. So starting off, we're heading up north to the fantastic city. Uh-oh, guys. Technical difficulties. My lighter is not working. The world is coming to an end. Anyhow, in Indianapolis, we're going to start off my good brother, Tim. What is happening tonight?
Good evening. Apologize for my failure to notify of my absence last week. That is a no-call, no-show for me, probably the only one I've had yet. But the good old Pfizer booster got me down. So, I was in hibernation mode for the duration of the podcast last week. But I'm feeling much better. We have an amazing guest here that Todd's brought on for us, so looking forward to that. And I'll just cut it right there. Looking forward to a good show.
Outstanding. Good to hear you're feeling better. Good to have you aboard this evening. And the absence will not count against you on your evaluation at all. So it was good to hear you doing much better, because there is nothing worse than the creeps. And as I stated in the green room, I was a little under the weather last week myself when we did the show. And, man, I tell you what, it is you forget how nice it is to be able to breathe through your nose and how nice it is to be able to lay down and sleep without your sinuses draining and you gagging on phlegm and snot and everything else half the night. It's the little things that you realize you don't appreciate until they're taken from you. So, yeah, it's very good to have you back, and I am feeling much better about being back. So, I'm going to pass it on to my anchor man and my good brother, former co-worker and con buddy, and all the other titles I could hang on this gentleman. God, what is going down, sir?
Brother, I am doing outstanding to supernatural, ecstatic to be here. Rather brisk day up here. The one of those days where a minor breeze, kind of perfect for the summertime type breeze, a nice 6-7 mile an hour. Woo, kicked in the wind chill. Dropped it another 8 or so degrees. It was kind of brisk out there today, but it is that time of year, is it not? All right, the man, guys, the talk a little bit about kind of some world stuff. I'm going to drag in the guests, do the introduction. They were here shortly. Thanks for letting me have the lead on this one, guys. But, you know, we're watching some craziness, supply chain, economy, people doing things for jobs, whatever it takes. And we got, it's not just the individuals out there. We got people doing what it takes to make things work for their family. A lot of folks are doing those second jobs. They're doing, you know, that first, the main money earner. Dave, you know this, you've got the dream. You know, maybe one day that book writing will do it all for you. ain't there yet.
Right.
You got to make things work while you're working on the dream. Correct me not.
Speaking of which, I haven't received a paycheck yet for the podcast. So yeah, I don't know who our admin office rep would be, but you know, just throwing that out there.
Dr. John spent it all on wine.
Dr. John, right now, he's calling us names. I know it. But you know, and people are sitting there and working and looking forward to seeing the dream. A couple of weeks ago, we had another author on the air talk about some of things going on. But here, the craziness in the world that's going on, we got somebody setting up, trying to give a go at maybe something to help on the side, and maybe it'll become the real deal. We have my buddy from work, Jordan. I'll let Jordan decide to use last name or not on there. He has a business, and for those of you that looked at the post there, I have his information up there on the Facebook via Pop Culture Stars. But you can go ahead and take a look at the page and see the information in there. Jordan, welcome to Pop Culture Stars. Happy Hump Day, brother. Just if you don't mind, go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and how this stuff got started. The floor is yours, sir.
All right. So my name is Jordan Dara, and about a little over a year ago, I started a business called Cinderpunk Studios. And so the business is primarily about graphic design, branding businesses. And for a while, I was doing PowerPoints for a pharmaceutical company, and all that money I just invested right back into my business. And so I felt like in order for me to properly help other businesses, you know, improve themselves, I thought it would be best if I started up a e-commerce site. So then I can actually go through all the steps that a regular business would do. And so I set that up, and my website, cinderfox.store, has only been up for a few months, and I've already been getting some sales on that. So that means I'm doing something right, and I think it just kind of speaks for itself. And so if anybody wants to get a hold of me, you can email me at cinderfoxstudios@gmail.com. And I am a LLC registered in Indiana. And I'm just really thankful that you guys invited me on here. So anybody asks questions or anything like that, just feel free to shoot them at me.
All right, ton of stuff, man. Excited to have that. Thanks for making sure we throw out some of the info. I just tweaked the post a wee bit since we know comfortable using the family name as well as the given name on the podcast here. So the post is tweaked a little bit. All right, so you had already tell us a little bit about what you were doing with the pharmaceutical company, because that's look, dude, you were doing big stuff enough to try or get stuff going enough.
Right.
To be able to try to parlay it to something bigger. There we go.
So just a little bit of backstory about like why I started Cinderfox Studios is I was in a car accident a couple of years ago and it messed up my back so bad that like I couldn't even change my kid's diapers for like six to 8 months. Yeah. And I didn't have the money to go get us like another like equivalent car right away, and it was just a mess. My wife had to put up Christmas lights by herself. I couldn't pay someone to do it. My brothers had to come rake the yard. It was a mess. And so I was like, I never wouldn't be put in this situation again. And so once I got better, I started like, hey, I need to be serious about bringing in more of an income, because for a single house income or a single member income type of thing. And so that's when I started to look into LLCs, and I started going into these networking groups. And I saw one on LinkedIn, and I was like, you know what, it's free, it's, you know, kind of, and so I just tried it. The person that was hosting it is very knowledgeable, and I just kind of picked their brain a little bit. We talked quite a bit, and then gave my contact information. I went home, and then I didn't hear from the person for about like a year. And then right when I started up my LLC, it's like, all right, time to get serious about this. That person from the networking group that he was hosting contacted me just out of the blue and was like, hey, do you still do PowerPoints? And I'm like, yes. And he's like, I need you to work on this project with me. So he brought me in, and I'm kind of worked as like a third party contractor in a way. And
yeah, almost subcontractor, right?
Yeah, pretty much a subcontractor. And I just was knocking out PowerPoints, and it was for a pharmaceutical company. So I use that money to just reinvest right back into my business, and that's that. So I can't really talk too much about it just because NDA was signed, so I can't throw out any names.
Right, right.
But that's what happened.
But that's pretty cool, actually. You got to get that break somewhere, and that's networking, and that's part of what some of this is, you know, getting the name and getting that out. And that's, I think that's part of lessons learned with trying to get something started. It takes some networking. Would you agree with that?
Yes, very much so. I think early in any business, networking it's vital. It really is. Because you don't have a reputation for yourself. You know, the only reputation you have is among your family and friends. But I don't think anybody intends on making a living selling things to their friends. At least you shouldn't, because you'll dry up that wealth very fast. And so, in a way, you do need a network. So then that way you, you're kind of using your network's reputation to kind of get you off the ground.
Outstanding. All right. I can't talk about that particular project a whole lot outside of the PowerPoint portion. The that was where your every lift was, and you were parlaying skills that you already had to that. How did you develop the concept of what it was that you wanted to do with your business, Jordan?
So I just knew that I'm really good with logos. It's actually, I nerd out over business cards and logos and stuff, and I just knew that there's money in that. And so I thought I'd just start out there, but I kind of just let people know that I do like websites, like, PowerPoints, presentations, things like that. And then, I just plant that seed. And if anything happens, it happens. And so, So yeah, that's kind of how I've been doing things, because I don't want to come off as, too needy or annoying or anything like that, because if anything, it'll just push people away. But if people have the money and the necessity to hire a graphic designer, they know I'm available.
Nice. Now, I happen to know you do are able to incorporate some of that graphic designer goblin that's in the back of your head with some of the stuff you do with work, without getting into too many particulars there. But you really don't get to set the goblin free. So when you get pulled into a project or help something with the project, how do you, because I've seen you show me some of your portfolio stuff, your back or so, probably longer than that. How do you, when you get a project and you get those parameters, how do you keep your goblin in control and still make the best of it?
So it is very tough, but I think the best way for me to just, you know, get the goblin out is I still kind of show it, you know, at our work where I'm like, hey, these are the possibilities. These are some of the far-fetched ideas. And then I say, here's kind of like a middle ground, and then here's super safe. And more than likely, they always choose middle ground or super safe. But that's how I kind of get, you know, release the goblin, is I'm like, hey, here's a possibility, but I know you're probably going to choose one of these two.
Nice. So you almost, dude, you know me, I ain't real young. So you almost, I can almost see you doing like a Foghorn Leghorn thing with that dog, where he would paint the little line about the length of the chain for it. When he made the dog come out and chase him and let the dog run to the end of the chain. And so you actually, you just go ahead and kind of set up your tiers of your goblins ranges, and you let it go to, and you still, you get to keep some of those creative juices, some freedoms, and then you're trying to take your client's needs in there and trying to find the best happy medium that you can come up with. Would that be fair?
Yes, very much so. Because sometimes people come to me thinking they already know 100% what they want, but sometimes when you just show them a few options that they just may not have thought about, sometimes they really like the alternative. Most often they don't, but still, it's I think it helps both them and me to determine, you know, how to go forward.
Nice. It also helps you. I would say that there's also, because, you know, communications, people can tell you an idea, but what you're visualizing may not be what they're visualizing, even if you're both using the same words in your heads, if that makes sense. You could have two people sit, look at the same picture on the wall. They could give you a written, each give you a written description, and they could be very different written pictures. So you got to kind of work and do that. That's nice. That's not the easiest thing in the world. That's awesome. All right, so you do stuff other than just some of the graphic design stuff online, but with some of that, do you have like a concept or two that you came up with that you just kind of made you pleased as punch, if you will, where you were just like, man, I was on my game. Anything like that you can go with, or anything even as concepts that you have sitting out there that you want to kind of take advantage of or help someone take advantage of?
So are you talking about concepts that I've already implemented or concepts that are just brewing in my mind?
Could be both. Whichever one that sit there going on that maybe you've got that you want to, because you don't want to necessarily give away tricks of the trade or you know, give somebody else a freebie by talking too much about what's in your mind, but.
I understand what you're talking about. So I think some of the great ideas that I've implemented so far is that I have done a logo and a business card for a electrician. And what I did was I had made like a very minimalistic logo of the wall outlet, like prong holes, that kind of looks like almost like a smiley face or something. So that was just their logo. And then what I did was I put that on the business card, but I put two of them on there and I made the business card white. So if you look at it, it actually looks like a wall outlet. And so I thought that was really creative. And that was something that the electrician didn't know that he would like, because he originally was like, hey, here's this template I really like. Can you just get me some business cards? And I was like, hey, do you mind if I try something? If you don't like it, I won't charge you for it. And he was like, okay. So I went and did that. I showed him and he said, that's awesome. I'd like to pay you for that design. So I got money for both the logo and the business card. And that was something that the person did not think that they were going to pay for, but they liked it so much that they did. So that's one example where my brain juices were just flowing and it worked out perfectly.
That's nice. And that sounds pretty cool, because you know what? That sounds like the business card that it'd be like if I don't know. I know some of us keep stacks for some future references of our business cards and things that in there. And you're like, man, I know. And I'll be able to find this card pretty easy because I remember what it looks like, even if I can't remember his name. Nice.
Yep.
Very nice. I actually tried to drag Dave in here and that. Dave, you've got a business of your own on the side with Kevin doing the pressure washing stuff and all that. Let me ask you a question. Have you guys looked into graphic designers and stuff like that? Have you, or the business cards? And, you know, what would you guys be looking for, or what were you looking for when you did that?
Nancy that worked with us for years over there at the store, happened to run into her one day. And she said, hey, what's going on? You enjoying your retirement, blah, blah, blah. She goes, yeah, I'm trying to make these T-shirts and yak, yak, yak. And I was like, you're kidding me. All right. Me and Kevin need a couple shirts. So threw a couple dollars at her right in the jump. And, of course, you know, our company name is Home of the Brave. And, you know, gave her the business card and said, you know, just play with it. The only thing I ask is that I get, you know, get our name on the boob. So that way, you know, somebody can just come with almost like a built-in name tag type thing. So, you know, a week or two went by and I'm here to tell you, she put the American flag on the back, put the title of the business across the back, the phone numbers, put a little USA on the sleeve, put the names on the chest like I ask and everything. And, I mean, it was just one of those things. We were just totally blown away. And it was an experiment for her. It was just her messing around with this machine, you know, playing around. And I thought it was just totally off the charts. So, you know, the creativity side, getting in there and, you know, as Jordan alluded to, you can't be afraid to experiment. You know what I mean? You've got to, because worst case scenario, somebody says no. It's just like asking a girl to dance when you're in high school. The worst thing she can do is tell you no, and then you just go lean back up against the wall like you were doing before. What you don't want to do is be that guy who never goes out there and tries to pitch an idea. And in the event you do get a no, it doesn't make it a bad idea. It makes it an idea that didn't jive with that individual. And you just file it and basically hang on to it. And, you know, in the event you run up on another opportunity similar, you whip it out. And you never can tell. You know, it might take a person or two to get through. But, yeah, when it comes down to businesses, you know, a lot of businesses don't have time or the resources. I mean, for crying out loud, there's a lot of guys that I know that lay brick, and they lay brick for a reason. you know what I mean? Because they build you a house that will stand up to 150-mile-an-hour wind, but when it comes down to forming full sentences, they can't do it. So, you know, they lean on guys for the creativity and lean on guys for the design and getting everything out there. So it helps to have somebody like Jordan around to, you know, to instill the thoughts. But there is something that Jordan mentioned a couple of times on, you know, while he was speaking, that just the total, I was sitting here shaking my head. You can probably hear my head rattle the whole time I was doing it.
And here I thought it was somebody's keyboard.
Oh, my God. Hey, my gorgeous wife, Dale, is joining me for a cigar out here. So in the event you hear a little side chatter, that is just me getting her set
hey,
up.
Dale.
Because I've.
Hey, I just got to get to cut my cigar.
She has partaken in my dirty habits like cigar and whiskey, so.
I got rum, though.
Oh, you got rum.
Rum today.
Okay, well, nobody's going to hold that against it. So there you go. Don't forget to take your band off.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, that's that. And then I got the grenade to light it with. But one of the key things that Jordan mentioned, and I tell you, anybody who's thinking of starting a business, I hope you heard this young man mention it. And the word is reinvestment. I'm telling you, Kevin and myself, us having the business, I've become kind of a student of the game with our craft. And when we went to go buy our equipment, one of the first things we did is we gave it a month. And I say a month. I had been looking up stuff for months prior to pulling the trigger on what kind of machines we were going to buy, the size of the machine, the brand of the machine, the type of motor it would have. We just didn't go willy-nilly down to Harbor Freight and buy, you know, $159 pressure washers. We bought something that was going to last, something that was going to perform. And, you know, since the initial investment for the equipment, as we do jobs and we run into certain obstacles or, you know, perhaps we say, hey, this took us a little longer than what we should have, or, you know, hey, we couldn't clean something because we couldn't get to it, or yak, yak, yak. So I'm constantly looking into new equipment. And oddly enough, last year I had looked into these turbo nozzles. And not to get too deep into the rabbit hole of pressure washing, because I know that that's beyond interesting talking about pressure washing. But nevertheless, your standard pressure washer is fine. Yeah, dude, man, put you right to sleep. They'll come with the different tips, you know, the red, yellow, black, white, green, and all that. But they have something called a turbo tip. And it works just the same as the other ones now. It's a lot heavier. It weighs about a pound. And it has a little ceramic piece on the inside of the cone. And when you pull the trigger, that little ceramic piece spins around with the water, and it creates a circular motion of water coming out.
Yeah, and we got Papa Stroll in the queue.
Oh, okay. We'll let him in. But it was a $13 investment for one for me, and it was a $25 investment for the other machine. And not only did it allow us to tackle bigger and more profitable work, but it cut the work down by 70%. I mean, stuff that we would have taken 2 weeks to do, we're doing in less than a week now. So, again,
nice.
That having the reinvestment is huge. And I don't know how many times I've gone into restaurants or bars or whatever, and you go in there and you see, like, an out-of-order sign in the bathroom, right, or a cracked mirror or something like that. Or a paper towel holder that's barely hanging on the wall. Well, and then you go in there 6, 7, 8 months to a year later, and it's still like that. And I shrug, I see that kind of stuff, and I'm like, God, this is your business. You mean to tell me you haven't had enough income in this building to go buy a new paper towel holder? You know what I mean? So you've got to reinvest in your business, and it makes all the difference. So when I heard Jordan say he was taking his proceeds to start with and putting it back, I think a lot of people miss that, and they immediately like to, start stuffing that initial revenue into their pockets when they should really be putting it into augmenting their business. So, yeah, man, well done. Man, my ears perked right on up when you said it. But well done, young man. Outstanding.
And we're going to do a quick interruption and bring our regular panelist in. I do believe that be Papa Stroh out there. Brother, how you doing?
Oh, good to be with you guys. I thought I walked right in the middle of a business seminar. Oh, that's really cool.
That's kind of the object tonight. Very nice. Kind of digging it. Think I touched on a quick bit of your background with that, because you're one of the, you got your fingers in all kinds of stuff business-wise. You're trying to take advantage of your maximum talents, Papa Stroh, so it's good to have you on. You got anything we got to get out before we jump back to Jordan, brother?
Oh, well, I just, I'm sorry I was late to the party. I had a business meeting with the board directors for Indian River Media, which
nice.
Was earlier, which went pretty well. I've got a bunch of stuff. Well, tomorrow night, WCW Retro, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, VOCNation.com. We're discussing favorite wrestling Christmas and holiday moments. So if you have one you'd like to share, please call in. And then this Friday night, I'm a horror sci-fi show, Stroh Zone, at midnight Eastern Standard Time at facebook.com/StrohTheMaestro. The feature for tomorrow night, well, Friday night rather, will be The Raven, starring Vincent Price. So please tune in for that. And then this Sunday,
absolute classic.
I'll be at the special guest of the Charlotte Comic Con in Concord, North Carolina, the Embassy Suites Hotel, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. I'll be joining my fellow cast and crew of The Devil's Daughter, Harlequin Story. And we'll have a special screening of the film at the Comic Con, as well as a special Q&A with the panel with the cast and crew. And along with that, actually, I got news on The Devil's Daughter, actually. We've just been selected by a few film festivals, three thus far, including an additional one tonight. We've just been selected by the Las Vegas Independent International Film Festival, Las Vegas. So really great to see the attention that the film's getting thus far. And now you can watch this not only on YouTube, but you can watch the film also on Amazon Fire TV as well. So, yeah, things are rolling.
That is beyond awesome. That is, and that's awesome. Another independent business, which falls right in here. Make sure we throw some love out to old Ron Rossman and all the work he had put into that one. All right, Jordan, it's nice that you touched on that reinvesting, because that was something that came right back in. And Dave talked about, taking time to research the equipment. Tell us a little more about some of the other products that you're doing, because we've worked mostly here, covered a bunch of your graphic design and your PowerPoint stuff. What else you got going on, brother? I know there's 3D printing going on.
Yep, I was about to touch on that. So, like I mentioned before, I felt like in order for me to do actually justice and put myself in the business owner's shoes, like me being able to properly help the people, that I say, you know, I'm going to help further your business, I thought I need to actually do it myself. And so I created a 3D printing business. And so that was very interesting how I came upon that, because seriously, like a week or two before the lockdowns happened, I went and bought a 3D printer. And I just started printing things. People loved it, so they started asking me to print more things. And then it got to the point where people were telling me, like, hey, you need to start selling these. And I was like, I mean, you're not wrong. I enjoy doing it. It's a great hobby. And so so that's what I ended up doing. I created an e-commerce site for the 3D printing. And like I mentioned before, I reinvested a lot of my the money that I got from the pharmaceutical company into paying 3D modelers for license to sell their work. Not to sell their digital files, but for me to print it out and then mail the printed pieces to people. And so I think I have only half my catalog uploaded to my website, and I think it's somewhere around 300 to 500 pieces on my website right now. I think I have close to 1,000 that total that I need to get up there. And so yeah, that's what I've been working on. Wow. It's a lot of work.
Oh, no doubt. I know you showed me something. I told you we'd bring this one up on the call. Because I think Papa Stroh, this one is near and dear to his heart as well. And I told you we'd have to talk about it because you got one that I'm definitely interested in. You had a pretty cool Godzilla.
Yeah. Yeah, that was actually the first thing that I sold on my shop was a Godzilla. So,
fantastic.
I mean,
that's awesome.
Legally, it's called a Gojira because, you know.
No, that's the proper
that's
name.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
I'm not the only Godzilla Gojira shill on this show, Jordan. Papa Stroh, I remember he and I were both at a certain con where we were drooling at one, and we were just trying to figure out if we could come up with the money to get it. True story. You remember that, Stroh?
Oh, absolutely. That's the first thing I hit one of these Comic Cons to see Danny Cool Godzilla stuff.
Jordan, you're in the right crowd with that one. Because I may have to. We'll talk at work, brother. Just saying.
Yeah. So. I'm actually have a project that I'm going to get to eventually with the Gojira model, but I plan on printing it out in clear materials, putting some LED lights into it, and then I have somebody that can paint the models and then have it appear as though it's like it's ready to shoot out. You know, Gojira blast.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah, man.
I'll tell you, Diamond Dave, he's got his Godzilla geek too. He's probably not as pathetic about it, or he's probably not as big a mark as Papa Stroh and I. But yeah, nice. So you're right in our wheelhouse. Tell us about some of the stuff that you have there, because you hit our geek, so you got our attention there with Godzilla, Gojira.
So So primarily what I sell on my e-commerce store is models and accessories for tabletop gaming. So it's, you know, things like Dungeons and Dragons. And so, so I sell like dice towers, the little figurines. I'm about to upload some wall mount displays. So it's kind of like a vertical dungeon that you put up on top of your wall, and then you can put your miniatures on that. And so, it's a lot of fun. I wanted to do something that I was really interested in, just because I feel like I know the audience better than if I tried to do something pertaining to like tools, you know, for like home improvement stuff, because I do some home improvement stuff, but I do what I need to do just to get by, honestly. And so I don't feel like I would hit that market the greatest. I think if for me to create a product along those lines, I would need assistance to make sure that I'm creating a really good product for that. So it's just, I don't know.
Do
it kind of
justice.
Makes sense to me. So,
no, I'm with you. It's easier to do it right when you have passion, right? Awesome. We've touched on some of the business card. We touched on some of the things. Coolest, it sounds like you're having fun with a lot of the, you're letting your inner geek out. And it's funny that the creative goblin fit right in there with the old Dungeons and Dragons theme. Seriously, I know I'm in so much trouble just saying that Godzilla thing. I already know I'm going to have to get permissions from Yuki to even have the conversation. But is there a special project that you have completed with the 3D printing, the stuff that's that you got out the door for someone that you're pretty proud of?
I would have to say the biggest one would be the Godzilla piece. I would have to say it's printing that out took me, I think, a total of 3 days. So it's a big, hefty printout, because I try and do it with the greatest detail that my machine is capable of. So just because, I'm only going to give out products that I myself would want to have.
I usually end up cutting people off because the phone is kind of like on a delay, so I apologize anytime I cut you off. I try to find the right time to jump in, but it never works. But what I was going to say is there's some of us who may not, and I'll play the ignorant card here on this one as well, but so when we talk about 3D printing, could you just elaborate for anyone out there listening, like what exactly is that? Are we talking, a flat, say, paper that's maybe raised, so it's, you know, a little bit, or are we talking, I have no idea what that would mean. So I feel like if you describe that a bit more, it might give all of us just kind of a better idea what exactly it is you do there.
Yes. So there's two different types of printers for 3D printing, at least right now. So there's one, it's called FDM printing. What that really just means is it has this hot plate, so the plastic can stick to it better. And then there's like, it's called a nozzle, and it spits molten plastic out through that nozzle, and it creates the model of what you're trying to do layer by layer, vertically.
Got it.
So
okay.
That's one. Then the other one, usually you get much higher quality of models from the other one, where what happens is it has this big pool of resin, And then as the plate is lifting up, there are blue lights underneath it that hardens the resin as it's being pulled out, and it hardens it in a way, layer by layer, where it creates the model. And so the two have different specialties, where the, like I said, the resin one, it's more for like high quality, like that's what the Godzilla piece is made out of. But then the one with the molten plastic, I can use a type of material that is plastic infused with wood. And then as it's printing it out, it smells like wood. It has a wood texture and feel to it, and you can even sand it and stain it just like wood.
Whoa.
So you can also do the same thing with carbon fiber, types of polymer and things like that. There's some people that even create guns out of these type of printers. So they have their different purposes.
All right, let me go back to the one you were talking about, the resin one. So basically it's shaping and hardening the model, if you will, as it's going.
So
is
the
that
resin,
right?
Not quite. The resin one, it has a metal plate that is dipped into the resin that is smashed up against an LED screen that's on the bottom part. As the plate is being pulled out of the resin, the LED light is or screen is flashing a type of light that's hardening the resin in different patterns as it's being pulled out. And so they have it on YouTube. It's kind of boring to watch compared to the molten plastic one, but it's still entertaining to watch because it's fun watching the model as it's being pulled out of that pool of resin. So.
Oh, it sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right, you said your Godzilla took 3 days. And what kind of, and again, you've got a full-time job out there, and you put your time in that, but a three-day project, so you're clearly putting time and effort into these projects.
Yes and no. I put a lot of time initially into these projects, just because I had to learn the printers, I had to learn the materials, but because I'm paying these artists to legally use their work,
right,
I don't have to take time to make the models. And then what I do is when I go to my full-time job, I have these printers working while I'm at work. And then so I'll turn them on before I go to bed. Sometimes prints take 6 hours. So when I wake up, some prints are done. Sometimes they take all the way up to 3 days for a print. And so it'll just be running that whole 3 days.
That's still time and effort to monitor. I get that you're not necessarily hands-on all the way through that still print. That's pretty cool. Those were some of the key things I wanted to talk about during the thing. Now, let me finish your thought, but I got another question I want to talk about. Product availability, raw product for you, supply chain stuff, after you finish your thought, sir.
I was just going to say that I think the 3D printing business works so well with my full-time job because I can pinpoint, like, when these are going to be done. And so I can kind of manage the prints to where I don't have to worry about them while I'm at my full-time job. Because when I'm at my full-time job, I'm there to do that job. And then the thing is, when I'm done with that job, my full-time job, then I'm there for my other job. And so I think it just so happened, it worked so well together. And I didn't really expect it until after I started it. And I was like, wow, this was just subconsciously a great idea.
Timing is everything, as they say. That's not too bad. So you found a way to make it efficient time management-wise for you. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so we know a lot of businesses, a lot of consumers across the border struggling being able to get their stuff. How are you doing? You being able to get the raw materials you need to be able to take care of your clients, or are you running into issues with that? How's that going? Have you seen, like, you know, price changes, stuff like that?
So, yes, I've definitely seen some price changes, and I'm trying not to allow that to affect the price of my products because it hasn't been that drastic of a change. But, yes, it, unfortunately, I have seen that. But then but the thing is, I try and buy in bulk. Because I don't ever want to get, you know, an order in and then I can't meet that order because of, you know, like the supply chain. And so
Right. There
has been, I have seen some restrictions where like, for example, the plastic, the molten plastic that, you know, the nozzle spits out. Some of those plastic rolls are not available for the brand that I prefer. And so I had to go and experiment with other brands, which kind of sucked because some of the other brands just had a hard time getting to work as well as my primary brand.
Oh, okay, so the quality of the products available, you've gone through some stuff that you definitely have preferences and some stuff so you've taken, I'm guessing, with some of that, you've probably taken some hits and had to go back to the drawing board because of the quality of the raw product you're working with.
Yeah, so for example, you know how I told you that there's like a really hot plate that the plastic needs to stick to? Well,
right.
Sometimes the brand has a hard time sticking to that plate. And so I'll be, let's just say, 26 hours into a 32-hour project, and then the plastic just unsticks to that plate, and the print's completely ruined. And so that's happened quite a bit. And so I've had to figure out how to, I mean, work around that.
Painful. Painful.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's definitely not all Skittles and beer. There is some learning, and right back to that concept of what we talked about of reinvesting back in, because Diamond Dave had mentioned running to a certain big box store to get some of that stuff. And we know different places have different quality products. So you've been going through some of that pain and stuff like that and dealing with price adjustments and that. That's, woo. Man, that don't sound fun. That sounds frustrating. That's,
yeah.
That's huge.
I mean, there's another time where one of the motherboards for my printers just got fried, and I bought like a replacement motherboard, and then I was like, wow, I really like this motherboard. So then like 2 months afterwards, I was like, I'm going to go buy it for my other printer, and it easily doubled in price.
Oh.
The motherboard did. And so I was like, hopefully it'll go back down because I don't feel like paying double the price for this motherboard. It's good, but I don't think it's that good.
Right. The and there's look, I tell you what, the restaurant where they work and stuff, they've, with some of the supply chain changes that have come up, what they've had to change, not just raising the prices on the menu, but, you know, they got to. They've got to make their, they got to pay the staff and they got to make a profit. And, you know, that's, your provider has to pass that on. That's, you know, you got to do that too. But I've seen them have to cut back on, and you're a little bit different. But they've, I'll give you an example. They've really minimized the beef on their menu because of prices at the restaurant. So,
yeah,
that's, you know, I know you mentioned about trying not to pass it on to the clients, but it's, brother, I hate to say it, it's just nature of the business. The, I'm going to assume that, Dave and Kevin have run into that and, I half suspect that Papa Stroh, why they just some of the different little stuff of what they were doing, trying to work their way through some of the projects they do from whether it's dusk or whatever, that how some of just the different little costs have gone up with their due thing. So Diamond Dave, Papa Stroh, you guys got any input on that?
Yeah, well, gas alone. The gas is, I mean, if you figure last year we were doing jobs and we still charge, we've got contracts with certain commercial entities and they have to be signed certain times of the year. So take, for instance, like the one contract we have, we signed that prior to the change in leadership. Not going to get on that soapbox, but nevertheless, it was done before election day, and we signed for a certain amount per square foot, you know, on our concrete and brick. So last, when we signed that contract, the gas was running us about $1.75, $1.90 a gallon, because we only run 93 non-ethanol 93 octane. Just a little another mechanical throw out there is never put ethanol gas into small engines when it comes down
correct
to your, they can't burn it like a car will, but that's a different show. Nevertheless, that same gas at the same establishment this year costing us close to $4 a gallon. So we were still having to do the projects at X amount per square foot, but we were dumping where we used to dump, say, $60 worth of gas on a project. Now we're dumping close to $200 on the same project. And it hurts. It makes a hole. And what happens is there's a lot more money that has to go into the business to pay for the gasoline, and it's less money that Kevin and myself were able to bring to the house and, you know, put Hot Pockets on the table with. So, yeah, I mean, and you figure the printer ink, if you will, it's not ink, it's, you know, like Jordan was saying, different materials. If it's petroleum-based, guess what? Yeah, it's going to go through the roof. It's not just pumping gas in your car and driving to the store that's going to cost you. When you have a business that has anything that is petroleum-based, it is going to jump up and bite you hard because the prices have doubled, if not worse. So, yeah.
Well, Jordan mentioned he had product with wood in it. It ain't like wood ain't freaking gone sky high either.
Yeah. I wouldn't even consider hitting somebody with a 2x4 these days because it might break the 2x4. Go find something else to swing at somebody.
Yeah, hacksaw Jim Duggan couldn't afford to do his old routine with the 2x4 anymore.
Yeah, he would have to hook up with Ted DiBiase. Little wrestling joke there. Fell flat, but I gave it a shot. I didn't get a chuckle out of Stroh on that one. I thought I'd get at least a giggle out of him, but it just didn't hit. So.
No, sadly, I got it. The funny thing is, I know Stroh got it. Tim's probably saying, Ted who? That's a whole other issue. better known as the million. What one of his bits was $1 Million Man. All right, that's awesome. I tell you what, it has not taken long to be able to get through an hour quick on that part. I think that kind of did the thing. I've got one more thing I really, really want to touch on with Jordan, and on this one is. Okay, you're talking about getting your products out to the people. What stuff have you learned since you started this whole deal about shipping stuff, like be it providers, how to pack and stuff like that? That's had to be its own learning curve.
Yes, very much so. I think learning about shipping and everything like that is what delayed my e-commerce site so much, because I had to figure out how taxes would be affected by who I'm shipping to and things like that. And so I think it was really just it forced me to learn from a business, you know, point of view that I honestly don't think I ever would have learned otherwise. And so, yeah, that definitely helped me back the most. But the thing is, creating the packaging, I had so much fun with. I love it. I'm looking forward to eventually create more packaging, but that'll come in time.
Oh, that's wild. That's concept I didn't even think about when you're talking about creating the packaging. My first thought was, anybody that's ever tried to ship stuff back and forth to other family members and stuff like that, you know, from bubble wrap to you name it, to try to keep stuff safe and secure. I think Diamond Dave posted something earlier about putting a fragile marking on a package. I think Diamond Dave posted a meme about that earlier today.
Yeah.
That the, like, you know, you, you know, the shipper, they look at those and they laugh. Because there's horror stories. I don't care the provider. I mean, there's stuff, I don't know who it is, something about like a whole truckload of packages in a ditch. You've heard about stuff in dumpsters, a whole nine yards, especially this time of year for the Christmas holidays and that. I know that can be a horror story. Do you got any, good or bad stories about shipping issues, Jordan?
Thankfully, not yet. But I do, you know, we've all seen those videos. And so after I started shipping some of my products, I was like, you know what? I want to make sure that when people get their products, it's all in one piece. And so I actually started, it cost a little bit more out of my pocket, but I'm using stronger quality of resin and plastic, just because I think part of my marketing is when somebody opens up the package, I want them to just be like, wow. Like when somebody opens up Windows or an Apple laptop for the first time, I kind of want people to kind of have that experience where they like opening up the package just as much as having the product. And so I think people getting broken, you know, products is just super shitty. So I don't want that to happen. I wouldn't want that to happen to me. I want that to happen to them. So I did end up buying more high quality materials for that.
Oh
and
yeah.
My wife and I.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, and my wife and I, to test all this, we even took some of our products, put it in our packaging. And we were just like launching it across the house as hard as we could. We were like trying to have my kids like step on it and just, we were like,
oh my
hey,
God.
Break this.
Tell me you're videoing this.
No, I didn't video it, but
the,
I mean, that was how
okay,
we really...
because look, there is something, the whole, we test our product, I feel like you missed something not videoing. Oh, my God, Jordan, you're kidding me. This is not only that would be money. Do you know how entertaining that would be at work?
Hey, actually, you're starting to give me some great ideas.
Hell, you ought to send it to the Postal Service as an instructional video. I mean, for those guys. I mean... You know, it's funny. I understand those guys are under the gun. I understand they got a lot of work. But dare I say that we have heavy workloads, too. You know, if you're the guy putting coffee into a Starbucks, every time I drive by a Starbucks, the cars are wrapped around the building. These guys can't even pee for the amount of business they're doing. So I kind of run out of patience when I hear about these deliverers abusing. And it's funny, even with us, it'll be raining. And Todd, you've been in a house. We've got a porch, a canopied porch. And I don't know how many times I'll get packages on the steps when it's raining. And I'm like, you don't even have to walk further. Just put a little more, when you throw the package, throw it a little harder, for God's sake. And, you know, it blows my mind in the amount of money they're charging for shipping. I mean, as I jest all the time that you can't mail a fart for under $5. You know, some of the stuff they do, and I almost want to ask these guys, I'm like, hey, have you ever ordered something for your kids and the box came in, looked like Randy Savage did an elbow off top rope on it? You know, did you ever order something for your kid for your birthday and it was left in the rain? Or some guy drop kicked it, you know, gave it the Ray Guy punt routine from a couple yards out? You got to put yourself in that situation. It's frustrating. And especially when you got, you know, say like Jordan stuff where he's actually, you know, that's his name in that package. When you open that up and whatever you bought is tore to hell, you're not thinking about that UPS guy. You're not mad at Brown. You're mad at the guy who put the stuff in the box and sent it to you. And now, granted, it's misguided, but it's normal human emotion to get bent out of shape because he sent me some, you know, broken item. Well, no, I'm sure it was in perfect shape when he put it in that box. And I'm sure he held his beads in his right hand and said a couple Hail Marys when he took it to the post office. But unfortunately, that postmaster or the postal service guys, they feel like they've got to, I don't know. It's just one of those things that has me scratching my head. You know what I mean? I guess it's the same thing when you go to Burger King and you order a burger and it looks like somebody sat on it. You know, but they're wanting to raise. So, nevertheless, yeah, the packaging thing is huge.
Another thing Jordan touched on with that. Oh, I'm going to run over you on this one, brother, real quick. You were talking
okay.
about how important you set up your packaging and what it looks like, too. That's, I tell you, I think that shows care as a provider. I'm just saying.
Absolutely.
So now back to your thoughts. Sorry, I did not want to gloss over that one because I think that's huge. You care what your packaging looks like.
Oh, I was just going to make a funny where he was talking about people sitting on burgers, and I was just going to say, hey, nowadays if you upload that to an adult site, that could be their race right there, you know?
Oh, my God.
Look that up.
Hey, what site is that? You see some of my meat.
If I have to explain it to you, Todd, you're too young.
Oh, Lord, and we know that ain't the case. Oh, Lord. Brutal. I'll expect a text for the particular addy. Anywho, that's hilarious. Dude, seriously, the fact that you care what the stuff looks like, the fact that I think another thing you touched on that you were talking about, that you learned what you're using to go through the shipping so that you don't have to market, and this is the appropriate season to reference the movie, so that if you're less apt to have to mark your package fragile, you all know the movie reference.
Must be Italian.
The
major award.
It's that time of the year. You know what? That's huge. That shows how much you care, and that's I want to talk about having an independent businessman, the thing stuff going on. Look, there's Jordan's talked a ton about the research, the effort, the reinvesting, and dude, we're talking about trying to do part of the American dream. And I kid you not, I know I told you when you first showed me it, we're going to have to talk that Gojira item. And even more so, I want to talk more about the one that glows because, we definitely got to talk on that side. That's holy smokes. All right, so we are at that time that I want to make sure that what we do is get back to trying to find out how do we contact you, how do we see what you have that's going on, how do we find more about Jordan and what he's got going on there at Cinderfox. And I know it's a different thing. I believe the email Cinderfox Studios. I believe. Do you not have a Facebook, Cinderfox Studios?
So I do have a Facebook page. It's not really very active. I actually seem to be getting a lot more feedback from people on Instagram. So as of right now, I'm focusing on Instagram. And if the Facebook page just happens to pick back up, I'll start giving that a little bit more love. And so,
well, cover the gamut here. Every which way we can reach you, brother. Floor is yours. Don't miss a darn thing here.
So as of right now, the best way to get a hold of me is email, cinderfoxstudios@gmail.com. And follow me on Instagram if you have that. It's cinderfoxstudios. And you can even go to my website and cinderfox.store. There is a contact page there. And, if you can't find me anywhere else, like if you forget what the email is, then also I do have a WhatsApp. So if anybody has that and they just want to talk to me on WhatsApp, that is also available on cinderfox.store. And then, of course, if you guys don't want to do any of that, you can get a hold of Todd, and, Todd will try and figure out any other way to get a hold of me if none of those works.
Oh, damn. I did not see that bus coming. The well played. The in Cinder Fox Studios, is real quick, just occurred to me, is there a story behind the name?
A little bit. Originally I was going to go with albino tree because I grew up using that for video games, and I was about to buy the name and everything, but then I decided that I did not want to attach, you know, something that was a little bit more personal to a business. So I was like, okay, I need to come up with something else. So with a fox being my favorite animal, my wife and I just threw out 1,000 different names. Until one just something that was memorable that nobody else has taken. And then after that, it was like, okay, can I make a good logo that would fit Cinderfox? And it almost came to be naturally. And it's like, okay, I'm going with that. And so I set up the LLC, and it was history after that.
Nice. I should point out, second time you referenced the LLC, the real quick, do you want to tell people why that's important?
Yes. So before, I used to just do a lot of freelancing. You know, I would just do websites, a logo, or anything like that for people. And it was, I did not do contracts, which was by far one of my biggest mistakes, because there's so many projects that people just skimped out on paying me. And so then afterwards, I did start to do contracts, but I noticed that people were trying to make me sign contracts that put me at a very big disadvantage, where it just wasn't worth doing the job at that point for the price that they were wanting me to sign the contract for. And so now that I am a homeowner, I have a family, I was like, okay, I need to protect my family from just malicious people. And so I found out that an LLC is the best way to protect my family, my family's assets. And so it did cost, you know, a pretty penny out of my pocket, but I think it's more than worth it in the long run.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah, I could agree more on that.
That's huge. All right, we are at go ahead, Dick.
No, LLC is kind of a necessary evil out there because, you know, especially like with our stuff, you get somebody who just makes their living off of somebody else's misery. There's one of those things where we're, you know, somebody's trying to take everything you've got, you know, it's going to totally floor you. So sometimes that little bit you spend every year comes in handy.
Yeah, I got it.
Got it.
All right. Absolutely awesome. All right, well, we're going to do our roundtable here to close the show. Jordan, anything else you want to throw out, brother?
Thank you very much for having me, everyone. I know I pretty much did almost all the talking, but I still appreciate all the comments. At least it appeared everybody was interested. I hope everybody else had a great time. And you guys have a really good thing going here. So just just keep it up. I really enjoyed being on here.
Well, we appreciated having you. You're welcome back anytime. You know, if you want to randomly call in a different anything, you can you know how to hit me up and just ask if we happen to know a subject. We did more background preparation for this show than we do for most, but you never know what's going to happen with this show. And as far as appearing interested in doing all that stuff, I learned from my wife. I know how to fake it. Although she is good at it. Anywho, that's a whole nother show. And probably back to one of those websites Jordan was talking about. All right, good to go. Papa Stro, you usually have the most going on. What do you got, brother?
To recap what I mentioned earlier, tomorrow night, WCW Retro, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on VOCNation.com, we'll be discussing our favorite Christmas and holiday wrestling moments. So if you have a favorite movie you'd like to share, call in. Friday night, my horror sci-fi show, The Stro Zone, at midnight Eastern Standard Time at facebook.com/StroTheMaestro. The feature for Friday night will be The Raven starring Vincent Price. And then this Sunday, of course, I will be at the Charlotte Comic-Con at Embassy Suites in Concord, North Carolina from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. with my fellow cast members of the Dust series, as well as The Devil's Daughter, A Harlequin Story, in which special screening of the film that day, as well as a Q&A with the cast and crew. So if you're in the area, come see us at Charlotte Comic-Con this Sunday. And for more information, go to charlottecomiccon.com.
Hey, real quick, if you don't mind, Papa Stro, talk about the Harlequin show, because, I know Ron, and I've been able to watch it a little bit from afar. Could you tell the listeners just a tad more about that and what's going on? And once again, recap the awards, because they are starting to fall in, because you guys have knocked it out of the park.
Well, The Devil's Daughter, A Harlequin Story, is a different take from the origin of Harlequin, in which it's more of a darker twist, if you will, a borderline horror movie, you might say, in some cases, in which it shows you the struggles that Harley went through as a young child and to adulthood, and which you see certain factors that led to her turning into Harlequin, if you will, becoming Harlequin, and the many factors through being in the Arkham Asylum, their influences with the Poison Ivy and Joker, and some of the inmates at the asylum as well, which a lot of the people involved at the asylum are arch enemies of Batman, if you will. So it's a darker take on a Harlequin story, and it's been getting a lot of attention. Tom mentioned, we've already run a few awards and selections from different film festivals, including one tonight from Las Vegas Indie International Film Festival in Las Vegas. So the attention's getting out there. It's really exciting. Now, I mentioned earlier, we're on Amazon Fire TV now, streaming, as well as YouTube. And so it's just catching on. Lisa Bounce, the cast and crew has been tremendous. We all put our hearts and souls into it. And Ron Rossman, as the director and mastermind behind the film, has just been tremendous. And we couldn't have done it without him.
Yeah, absolutely.
So and as well as all the great cast and crew involved that put their hearts and souls in this film. So, it's really great. It's been a pleasure to be a part of, and I'm looking forward to see what lies ahead for the film. And I've got some other films that'll be coming out soon as well. Hybrid, we look out for Hybrid, that'll be coming out soon. The Love Spell, a horror short to be out soon, Echo Lake Massacre, as well. And I'm in talks with a pilot and a miniseries as we speak, so definitely keep you guys informed on the latest.
Awesome, awesome. I appreciate it much, Papa Stroh. Tim, what you got, brother?
Hey, you know, really just wanted to go around and give my little thanks to Jordan for being on the show. You know, he touched on him being here and glad he could speak, and just to let him know, you know, and like you said, Todd, to kind of echo in your words, we really do talk a little bit about everything, and it's always awesome. I think all of us are kind of like moth to the light whenever we have a guest on here, because I think we're all a little intrigued on just the various inputs. People come from different walks of life. They have different hobbies, different things, different plugs to put in, and I think we're always willing to hear, you know, and help somebody plug what they've got going on. You know, we've had financial advisors, we've had wrestlers on. It's just, you know, you name it, and I guarantee we've talked about it at some point or another. So it's great to have you on. I enjoy listening to it. You didn't, you know, steal anything away. I think that was the intent the whole time, you know, beforehand, was to have you on and just, you know, talk us to death about it. And that, it's good stuff right there. So I don't really have anything else to plug. I could go on and on like a broken record about all the wonderful stuff going on here in Indianapolis, but I'm just going to go ahead and shove it off to the next. So everyone, enjoy the rest of your week. Jordan, thanks for coming on. I think you did great, and it was good listening to you out here.
Awesome. Look, I'm going to run through, do mine. I'll let Diamond Dave do his close because he runs the board. After I'm done, you guys know me. I kind of have the traditional routine. Before I get to that, I want to talk about, just recap, Jordan being here. Somebody who is, once again, it's all about family and trying to take advantage of the American dream, trying to maximize, not so much take advantage of, but trying to maximize, utilize the opportunities that the American dream provides. I'm not saying that there aren't challenges in everything. He's talked about having to do the LLC to protect himself, all those little things that go on there, because there's always somebody that's trying to shortcut things. But, you know, work effort, Jordan talked about the thought, effort, reinvesting. It takes money to make money. You know, he got one good project that worked for him. He reinvested it, and he's trying to turn it into something else. Brother, we're wishing you the best, and we hope it works. We hope it works for everybody. We hope it works for everybody. And as my usual closing is, take care of yourselves. Take care of your family. Take care of one another. Be smart. Stay safe. Big hugs. Diamond Dave. All yours.
Outstanding. Yeah, I want to echo what you guys said. Definitely appreciate Jordan joining us this evening. And, you know, it's refreshing to hear what you're saying, because you are on track. You are thinking the right way. And, you know, I see nothing but success lying ahead because you've got the right mindset. And, you know, I'll say, when it comes down to following that dream, I'm one of these guys that's real big on creating your own luck. And, you know, I know people have different things that they lean upon for hope, but you will never catch a fish until you put that worm on the hook and put it out in the water. Sitting around talking about it doesn't mean a damn thing. It's all about getting in there, getting the dirt on your fingernails, and getting it going. So the fish will never jump in your boat. You have to go out there and catch them. And it's no different when you're trying to create the dream. You can sit there all day talking like, I wish I could play the guitar. Go get one. It's not going to do you a damn lick of good until you push forward. So it's very refreshing listening to Jordan tonight. and hearing the ambition that he's got towards that business. So I appreciate you joining us this evening, Jordan, very much. On a personal level, of course, this time of year, you're looking for Christmas gifts, and for your reader out there, no pictures in my books, but nevertheless for the reader out there, The Hunger Series by yours truly, Dave Atwell, is out there. And in the event you're anywhere local to the Jacksonville area, please get hold of me. I'll be more than happy to throw some ink on those things for Christmas gifts and everything. Easy to find on Amazon and several other places.
And by ink, he means autographs, not tattoos, just saying.
Yeah, in Jacksonville, I think you need to clear that up, seeing that we are the tattoo capital of the world. So, but yeah, it's there's several different outlets. It's hard to keep up which ones have it, which ones don't have it, because they do certain times and they don't. But Amazon definitely is year round. The Hunger Series by Dave Atwell. Look it up, please. So, and lastly, before I go in there and cue in the old salty British lady to cut off the broadcast tonight, just want to throw one out there real quick. I had a couple friends over the last week get into car accidents. Nobody's hurt, but, of course, whenever you get in a car accident, you know, there's the initial shakeup of what happens. Plus, there's the misery of, you know, you don't have your car, or, you know, now you got to make 500 phone calls. You got the insurance adjuster you got to go to. And, you know, we're so busy this time of year that a lot of folks just don't have time to screw with something like that. So basically what I'm asking everybody out there is to pay attention to what you're doing. Put the phone away. And these little headsets that people have, it's funny how many people cannot walk and chew gum at the same time, so don't think you can drive 70 miles an hour and carry on a conversation hands-free at the same time. So watch what you're doing, and probably most of all, the thing I could throw out there is remember that you are not the only person on the planet. And just because you know you're going to make a right turn, the 200 cars behind you don't. Use your blinkers. Give yourself plenty of time to slow down. Make left turns, not left cuts. Be careful out there. And don't cause a whole lot of unnecessary misery because you've got your head pounded up a certain orifice on the back end of your anatomy. Slow down. Keep your eyes open and be careful out there. I want everybody to be safe. I want everybody to enjoy Santa Claus and their family, and don't need any automotive misery. That's for damn certain. So with that said, I am going to ease into Atwell Manor here, cue in that old British lady who's still mad for that loss in 1776. And we will call it a night.
Oh!
Fighting that old
and
fight.
And while he's doing that, Jordan, your email one more time.
Please.
Yes, my email is cinderfoxstudios@gmail.com.
Very good.
Thanks,
very
brother.
Good.
And yes, I'm happy to relay any messages.
All right, thank you.
For a minimal charge, right?
Oh, that's beside the point.
That's beside it. That's right. All right. Well, again, we appreciate Jordan coming aboard. Stro, Tim, Todd, much love, gentlemen. Appreciate your acquaintance and you joining us this evening. And we hope everybody has a wonderful week. Be careful and be good to one another. And we will talk to everybody next week on Pop Culture Stars. Have a good evening.
Big hugs. Granny, Velvet, miss you. Dr. John, you as well.
And British Lady.